Thank you. Thank y'all. Awesome. You can stay there if you need to. Hallelujah. If the Lord's touching you, don't let me get in your way, get in His way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to do some quick reading here. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Verse 7, I may have shared this example here before, but you know, when I was a kid, I think 7 or 8 years old, one of my favorite things to do, is just one of these kids, things that kids do, was when the weather would change, the season would change, or if it was hot and all of a sudden a big storm is blowing in, you know, with 90 degrees and then a big storm comes blowing in and it drops from 90 degrees to 75 degrees in a matter of just like 10, 15 minutes. One of my favorite things to do when we were kids, we would get out, you know, how do you explain this except you're a kid? You get out, we would put our hands out like this and spin in circles, and we would play the helicopter game and act like we were helicopters because the wind was blowing in, you know, from a new season. And I love season changes. I remember back in 2010, J.D. was with me when we did this a meeting in Gainesville, Texas. We set up our meeting outside in the biggest heat drought that Texas had had in, I don't know, 30-something years. And I'm not kidding you, my truck said it was 115 degrees at times during the afternoon, and we were out there setting up this equipment and doing a crusade in Gainesville, you know. Our next crusade was in Denton, Texas, and we suffered through that crusade in Gainesville. I'm telling you, it was 100 degrees during the services. So, you know, we had some Miss fans that helped. You could actually sit in front of our Miss fans and not be breaking a profuse sweat, and it was comfortable. But if you stepped 5 feet outside those Miss fans, I'm telling you, you're gonna be soaking wet within a few minutes. And in Denton, Texas, we had our next crusade. And it was hot setting up for that thing. And I'm telling you, like the day before the crusade started, finally in September, finally the weather broke from that heat wave. And that 115-degree weather was gone, and it dropped down to like upper 80s in a matter of a day. And just thank God for the season change. You know, seasons in your life are not going to stay the way that they are forever. In Daniel, it says he holds the times and the seasons in his hands. I want you to understand tonight that God holds the times and the seasons in His hands. Yes, we have a part to play by faith, but it's a unity that takes place that brings change. It's not just God by Himself, because He wants to work through and with man. But it's not just man by ourselves. It's not just people by ourselves. But there's a unity that's got to take place to change times and to change seasons. So Jesus here in Mark chapter 1, let's see, in verse 7, it says, John the Baptist actually came preaching, saying, there comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to untie, to stoop down and unloose. Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And I want to point out here the tense of John the Baptist's message. He preached one message. He was obedient to what the Lord told him to preach. If you preach the same message all your entire life, you got to be obedient. If you pastor the same church, if you evangelize the same community, if you do lead praise and worship at the same church your entire life, then that's what God's called you to do. Then you do the same thing your entire life. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful beyond words for Pastor Bob Nichols coming up on 50 years here at Calvary Cathedral. Is my math right? And 60 years in the ministry. John the Baptist didn't change his message. He didn't change his assignment arbitrarily because he got tired of it or anything. He stuck with it. Hallelujah. Whoa. So thankful for that, Pastor. I wasn't planning on saying that, but I'm so thankful for that. So comforting being in the ministry, in my position, and being here. Jesus came later preaching, but John preaches, there comes one after me. There is coming. John the Baptist's message was future tense. But you see, there's got to come a change from the future tense prophetic word to the now tense manifestation of the power of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 7. Now, if you look in verse 15, here comes a change. In verse 15, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So I want to tell you tonight, I believe it's time to take the future tense off of a lot of things that we've been believing God for. That's not a rebuke. It's not a correction. It's just the timing of God. You see, John the Baptist came saying, there comes one after me mightier than I. But Jesus came and said, the time is now at hand. In verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. There has to come a now on your faith project. There has to come a now on what you're believing God for personally. And there has to come a now on what we're believing God for in this city. And there has to come a now on what we're believing God for in the United States of America. Hallelujah. It goes from future tense to present tense. Let's also look in John chapter 1, verse 50. John chapter 1, verse 50. Talking to you about the change of the season. And I'm not going to preach long. I just want to give you this here. John chapter 1, verse 50. Actually, we'll just read in verse 47 so it'll make total sense to you. It says, and Nathanael came into him, and he came to Jesus and said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, he didn't come to Jesus, came to Philip. Philip said unto him, come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to Jesus, how do you know who I am? Jesus answered and said unto him, because before Philip called you, when you were underneath the fig tree, I saw you. So Jesus had a word of knowledge. Well, a word of knowledge is good. It's an awesome gift of the Spirit. But look what Jesus has to say about that. In verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus responds and said, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. You know what? Thank God for the measure of revival that we've seen over the years, you know, starting from Azusa Street all the way up until today. But we shall see greater things than these. There's always more that God has. And I want you to know, and you know this, that for all of the sin and craziness going on out there in the world, God's grace is exceedingly greater. Hallelujah. So let's look at what Jesus said in verse 51. This is where I want to focus in. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I want you to notice here that Jesus said the Son of Man and not the Son of God. And there are other reasons and revelation involved in that, but I just want you to understand that he said the Son of Man because you're the Son of Man also. So if a Son of Man can open the heavens, if a Son of Man can tell Nathanael, you're going to see greater stuff than this, Jack. If the Son of Man can say, hereafter, you're going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, then another Son of Man, put your name in there, put Pastor's name in there. You and we and us here together, we can see the heavens open. We can see the angels of God ascending and descending upon us here at Calvary Cathedral. Because we're also anointed people. We are sons of men. We're sons of God, but we're also men. You see, so that's the value, the power that God has vested in us. That's the value, that's the power that God has vested in you. And so in keeping with taking the tense from the future tense and bringing it into the present tense, we've got to understand that God has put that kind of power and authority on us. It's not just power and authority that God's given to us over our own physical bodies when we're praying the prayer of faith, but God has given power and authority over us to literally open the heavens when we connect with God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you, this is good stuff right now. Change of seasons in the opening of the heavens. I remember I was in Mexico years ago, and this is in 2001. We started a crusade there in that city. We had around 1,000 people, give or take, in the services. And churches came together. It was awesome. But I remember the first night we had a certain measure of healings. and nothing real big. But the second night, the healings got stronger. You see, people's faith will grow as healings take place. That's why it's so important if you come for prayer in the healing line, don't quit, because if you got all of it or you got a little bit of it, if you still need more, don't quit coming for prayer in the healing line. And don't quit releasing your faith for your healing, because your faith needs to grow and your faith will grow. Kenneth Hagin said back in when they used to do extended meetings, he said that they used to not ever see the big miracles take place until the second or the third week of an extended meeting. And when they did extended meetings, it was at least 6 nights out of the week. So 2 or 3 weeks into meetings, they would start to see the big miracles and the big healings take place. Persistence. Persistence. Jesus was persistent. Jesus came preaching, right now the kingdom of God is at hand, and miracles began taking place. Preaching the word. 3 things that I want to share with you about changing the seasons. It's contingent on the preaching of the word. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus came preaching, and his very message changed the season. His very message that he preached changed the times and the season back in those days. His very message to open the heavens wherever he went. Now, you see, God has never closed the heavens. God has never got mad at anybody and said, I'm going to close the heavens over you because I'm mad at you. No, but people have the authority. I'm trying to get you to understand tonight that it's not just 100% God and it's not just 100% man, but it's a faith agreement between God and man. It's a faith agreement between a group of people, the body of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas, that is in faith agreement with God that says, Lord, we are not going to let go. If Kenneth Hagin said we got to go 2 or 3 weeks, 6 nights a week, then praise God, we're going to do that. If it took 5.5 weeks back in 93, then praise God, we're going to do that. But Lord, we are not going to let go. We are going to stay persistent with this because we understand that we have authority joint with the authority of God to see a nation turned around. And say, so what are the heavens open? When I talk about the heavens open in a change of season, God has the power to change times and seasons. But he does it a lot of times in joint agreement with the people of God. There are some things that people, come hell or high water, that God's timing is going to take place. But there are other things that God is looking for faith agreement. And for God to shake the city of Fort Worth upside down by the power of the Spirit of God, to where we've had 50-something thousand people that we've gone out and reached out in the city, to have that same harvest come back into here, just one fold, means 50,000 people coming through this house from Fort Worth alone. So you've got to get a hold of this and say, I really believe what we're talking about here. So when we talk about an open heaven and God changing times and seasons, I want you to understand that it is not just a matter of somebody saying, well, we're going to have a revival and you schedule a meeting. And that's the first step. Don't get me wrong. But that's not all that's involved. It takes something of a heart commitment where you can stay like Jesus. I've heard from God. And from this time forth, things are going to change. The heavens are going to be opened here in this place. It's an agreement between man and God. I remember Pastor Rodney Howard Brown talking about years ago in 93 when revival first broke out. Then later on through the 90s, how revival and revival meetings became a buzzword and a cliche thing to do, you know, and that's not what it's all about. You can schedule a revival and not have revival. I mean, how many of us, I haven't seen it here, but I've traveled around and you can schedule a revival and not have a revival. But there's a faith connection with God. There's a faith connection with God. I just pray you get that by the Spirit of God tonight. There's a faith connection with God. With the one who has the power to change times and seasons, with the one who has the power to open the heavens, when we faith connect with him and we say, Lord, I am not letting go, we are not letting go of the move of the Spirit, and we're going to see this thing turn completely upside down by the Spirit of God. In the second great awakening, and I've said this before, there was a borderline along the eastern seaboard of 100 miles, and ships were coming in from Europe and to the United States. And when they would get within 100 miles, people would be smitten by the power of God and begin to cry out to God and repent of their sin. Because there was just a breakthrough that had taken place in the United States. There was an open heaven. Because people had united with the plan and the will of God so much. And there in that meeting in Mexico that we were doing, I saw this. This is how I began to seek God about this and get revelation. Because people, preachers, the people of God have the authority to stand in unity with God by faith and persist and never quit, never let go, and literally see the heavens open over a city. Can you say amen tonight? Let me say that. Let me make that statement again. The people of God can stand in agreement with God in heaven until the heavens over a city are literally opened and the power of God is being poured out to the point where it's no longer that people sink into sin, but people are sinking into salvation. Where the momentum of all 750,000 people in the greater Fort Worth area, where all the momentum for them is to go to church. There's no longer momentum for everybody. Now on Thursday nights, they extended the bars, the weekend for the bars, now have are not just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but they extended it to Thursday several years ago. Because I know I lived a few blocks from one, and I had to call the police. Can you please tell them to turn that music down on Thursday night? The bars are thumping away. You know, that's not acceptable to me. We got to see the momentum change. And if you own a bar, I'm sorry. Read Proverbs 20, verse 1. The momentum has to change. The momentum has to change to where the majority of people are not just sinking into the bars. And Christians that are backslidden all over the place think it's okay to live any kind of an immoral life, drink and smoke and do anything that they want to do and live any kind of life they want, and they're not in church and not serving God. The momentum has to shift. And it takes a unity of the people of God standing with God Almighty, saying, we will not let go until this thing breaks wide open. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, that's what the Spirit of God is doing here in this city. And I want to tell you right now, God wants to do a new thing like He said with Nathaniel. Hereafter, you think that's good. Hereafter, this is what's going to happen. You're going to see the heavens open. I don't know how to tell you what it's going to look like, but I can tell you this. It's been good what we've seen for the first 50 years of Calvary Cathedral International, but what God is doing now, it's going to be something that might be different. It's not going to be the same thing that's going on in the move of God in California. It's not going to be the same thing that God's doing in other big churches, in great churches that are having a mighty move of God. It's going to be our unique call. It's going to be Calvary Cathedral's unique niche and flow and anointing to reach a city and to impact a nation. It's going to be something new. But it's going to be something completely founded on the Word. Like I preached last week, Elijah came bearing the fire of God, calling for fire. But before he manifested all the fun, exciting things, he said, rebuild the altar. He was founded and he was grounded on what would be today the Word of God and the strength of the body of Christ in the local church. So it's a new thing that God does, but it's the same principles, it's the same basics, the same Word. So there in Mexico, that we did a five-day crusade, and the second night we saw some deaf ears open, and people's faith is beginning to rise. Then the third night we had a few blind eyes open, and there was a crippled boy that was healed. There were too many people for me to pray for everybody. I didn't want to just pray for a few people and then, you know, send a ton of people home. We want to lay hands on everybody, because if you've ever been really sick, you know, suffering is miserable. So we would have, after the service, we would have the pastors of the local city come up, face the congregation. Of course, we were outdoors. And then we call everybody up for prayer, and these pastors. And a pastor, because people's faith was built, a pastor laid hands on a six-year-old in his congregation that had been just suddenly come crippled 2 years before. And that crippled boy began to walk, all on completely under his own power there on the third night. Then on the fourth night, there was a time during praise and worship where the Lord just led me without the microphone to go start laying hands on people and getting them healed. And every single person was completely healed for a span of like 4 or 5 minutes. And I remember noticing, I'm like, this is not the way this open field felt 4 days ago before we started the crusade. I mean, you could really feel something different. Just to explain this to you right now, you can feel the presence of God here in this sanctuary right now. If you go into a bar tomorrow, don't do this, I'm just saying if. If you go into a bar tomorrow, you will feel a different presence. That's what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 6, let me just give you the exact verse. You can check it out later. Ephesians 6, 12. We wrestle not with principalities and powers. Excuse me. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You know what the devil wants to do in every move of God? He wants to bring excess to it, craziness, and then he wants to invalidate the move of God because of the craziness. And spiritual warfare and prayer was a mighty move of God that God brought. And people have just said, oh, spiritual warfare is craziness and all that. But here, this is what the Bible says about it. It's real. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in heavenly places. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about an open heaven. That's what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about an open heaven in John 1, verse 50. He was saying, look, bud, I'm coming preaching the word. Right now is the time. A word of knowledge is great, but you're about to see an immeasurably amount greater of significant miracles taking place. I'm preaching the word, and I'm summarizing what Jesus told Nathanael when he said, you shall see greater things than these. Jesus knew that he had the authority. He knew it was the timing of God. And I want to tell you tonight, church, that you have the authority, and it is the timing of God, just like it was with Jesus. And just like he stood up and told Nathanael that, we can stand up and tell the city of Fort Worth, from here on out, it's going to be different. Things are going to change. Hallelujah. The momentum is shifting towards the kingdom of God. The momentum of the kingdom of darkness is over. Hallelujah. And it's shifting towards the kingdom of God. Because we have the authority, just like Jesus had the authority. Jesus recognized that there were principalities and powers in heavenly places all over Jerusalem, all over the cities that he went into. Why? Because that's what Ephesians chapter 6 says. That's what the Bible says. Maybe there was excess years ago, but who cares about the excess? Chew the meat, spit out the bones, and grow up and move on with it. Hallelujah. Don't neglect what the Bible says because somebody 20 years ago got an excess about something. Spiritual warfare is real, but it's, you know, there's a balance to that. Spiritual warfare is prayer and preaching coming together, reaching the lives of people. And I don't have time to get into this, but if you read Ephesians chapter 3, let me just give you the reference because I'm going to finish up here pretty quick. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, 6 through 10, you will see the coupling together of the church and the preaching of the word. In that entire chapter, it's basically Paul breaks it down. And I'd like to share that with you, but now's not the time. So Jesus comes and he's saying, I'm going to open the heavens, basically. Because he knew he had the authority. He knew that there were principalities and powers that needed to be chased off. And by the time Jesus finished meetings, the Bible says that everybody that touched the hem of his garment was healed. And I'll just tell you this, without getting into Ephesians 3, that open hearts open heavens. Open hearts will open the heavens. When we get this in our hearts, when the heart of people is so open and so full of this right here, of what Jesus did and said in John chapter 1, verse 50, and what he did in Mark chapter 1, and verse 15, when our hearts are open like that, in unity, and we persist and we do not stop, open hearts will open the heavens over a city. And instead of the momentum going to the kingdom of darkness and people sliding off and the things that go on, it's going to be shifting. And instead of us having to work so hard, and it's just like, when is the harvest coming in? There's going to be such a big harvest that we can't handle everything that God is bringing into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's what happens when the heavens get open. And God has the power to change times and seasons. And he's looking for a group of people that will unite in faith with him and that will never let up. Let me finish off by sharing this. Actually, let me finish my 3 points about the change of seasons in the open heavens are contingent on. One is the preaching of the word. You see that in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus came preaching. So you have to have a preacher. And that preaching, I will just say that prophecy goes right along with that. And then the number two, you have to have a believer. In John chapter 1, verse 50, so people have to believe this. So it takes a preacher, but it takes people to believe it. And when we say believe it, we're not saying, well, I believe the sky's blue, but you're not doing anything about it. When you believe something in the Word, that means you have received a word from God into your heart, and you are fostering that. You are caring over it. You're protecting it. You're not letting people come up and say, Fort Worth's going to hell and it's never going to change. If you're a believer and somebody starts talking stuff against what you believe, then you're going to say something about it. When you believe, I'm talking about you have committed your life to what you believe. You have the change of seasons in an open heaven is contingent on a preacher. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it's contingent on a believer. John chapter 1, verse 50. And then the third thing is it's contingent on obedience to revelation. And that's in Ephesians chapter 3. They got revelation. Paul shares revelation throughout Ephesians chapter 3 about the mystery, which is Christ in us and reaching the Gentiles, that the gospel would come to the Gentiles. That was the revelation. See, it all comes back. Jesus is number one. But it all comes back to reaching out and winning the lost. If you read Ephesians chapter 3, and I don't have time, but just read it or trust me. Paul is talking there about a revelation that he received that the gospel would come to the Gentiles. That's winning the lost. So let me leave you with this in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Let's go ahead and read there. Turn there and read Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. See, Jesus has the power to change times and seasons. There is authority that you have over your personal life that you can exercise at any time through the Word. By your stripes, I'm healed. We can exercise that at any time and see it manifest of anything. You don't actually have to have hands laid on you in the healing line every single time, but God gives gifts because He's a loving God, so it works both ways. But you have authority over your life all the time. But there is authority that God has given the body of Christ that has to match the seasons of God. That's why we have to hear from God on what He's doing, be sensitive, and respond. Did you hear what I just said tonight? That's why we have to be sensitive to what He is doing. Jesus got so frustrated with the people of His day. He said, you can tell when the sky is red and lowering, that the weather's changing, and you can tell this, and you can tell this. And He's like, why can't you tell the spiritual seasons are changing right now? Why can't you just open your eyes and see that something's different? He's there working all these mighty miracles, and the Spirit of God is speaking, but some people were so dull of hearing, they never heard a single thing, but they can tell you the weather is going to change a few days in advance with no technology or instruments back then. See, you have to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying when it's time for change in a season. Because their faith is so vital. The reason is because your faith is so vital. God is looking for your faith agreement. If God can find Calvary Cathedral, and I believe He is finding us faithful, then He can turn this city upside down, and by the time the rapture comes, it'll be truly told all over the world that Fort Worth is the revival center of the world. Hallelujah. But that doesn't happen 100% on God's hand and 0% on our hands. It happens because there were people who got faith agreement with God and would not be denied. So when God comes in the season that He planned for a mighty move to take place, when God just kicks things wide open here, and all of a sudden we don't have room for the wheelchairs that are getting emptied out, and we're having to auction them off because too many people are getting raised up out of wheelchairs, and we happen to stop, say, hold the testimony. We don't have time for your wheelchair healing right now. No, you're crippled. We don't have time. We got to preach the Word. We're having so many testimonies that we have to just hold the testimonies back so we can preach the Word. When God kicks things wide open like that, I want to paint the picture here of what I'm trying to say. Back in the 50s in the healing revival, I'm telling you, there's a divine connection of faith between people, the people of God and God, for seasons to break something wide open. And that happened in the 50s. And there was Oral Roberts and others that started it. And then there came a time in the 50s when people were getting healed of all kinds of stuff. I studied out and found in Jack Coe's meetings that before he died that creative miracles were happening. Not like hundreds of them every night, but like several in every crusade that he had, creative miracles began to take place. I mean, things were escalating to such a point in that healing revival. And then all of a sudden, things change. God brought a new season. You know, people say, well, the devil this, and well, it's because Jack Coe overate. I mean, come on. Some of the excuses I heard about that, trying to make the men of God look like they were bad people. I'm on a rabbit trail, but God moves in times and seasons. And I was praying with a friend of mine, Jason Mangum. We traveled in the ministry throughout 2012 during Revival Now in 2012. We were praying together, and the Lord spoke to him a word, and I believe so clearly it was a word from God. He said that the healing movement is not gone, of the voice of healing is not gone, but God has just held it back for a season so he could prepare the church all these years. And so when he comes back with that, the church is ready to wield that in its full strength and not have any craziness going on. Because with great power comes a great responsibility. Now, you know, if you want to be a millionaire, if you want to earn $1 million, you got to learn how to solve a $1 million problem. You don't get to be a millionaire you got to solve a $1 million problem if you want to be a millionaire. And it's the same with the things of God. If we want to have this great power wielded, if we want to see things like Jesus' ministry, where miracles would break cities wide open overnight. In Mark chapter 1, he had a revival in Capernaum. He started in the morning preaching the synagogue. By the end of that night, the entire city was gathered at his door. If we want to truly reach an entire city in one single day, because the power of God is so manifest, then there comes great responsibility with that. So Jesus opens the heaven. And so when the seasons come together like it did in Azusa Street, when the seasons come together, you know, and God found the men of God, the preachers, and Catherine Kuhlman, the women of God, Amy Simple McPherson in those seasons, and God found people that he could unite with. And when the season of God comes, will he find faith in the people that have heard the prophetic word and they know what's going on? Will he find faith in them, in their hearts? So let me finish up with this, and I'm done. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And to this end, Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So there Jesus said, we have to pray. I wrote down what Pastor said several weeks ago. We need to stop complaining or stop whining and start praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now look at this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So when Jesus comes and it's payday, I'm telling you, when it's time for seasons to change, he's going to find faith in your heart. So don't let go of your personal breakthrough. Don't let go of what we're believing God here for in the city of Fort Worth. God's going to find faith. Will he find faith? I believe that he will. But it takes people that have heard it and that they believe it and they're not going to be moved. And it says you got to pray without ceasing. So take that, pray it, preach it, prophesy it, stick with it. Hallelujah. Because God has great things. He holds the times and the seasons in his hands. He can change it. When it's time for him to change his season, when God says, all right, the time is right now. What happened in the voice of healing in Azusa Street and all these moves of God, and God says, you know, I can just imagine God up in heaven saying the rapture is going to take place in 5 years. It's time to pour it out. He's going to come and find us faithful. Hallelujah. And he's going to find faith when those seasons come together. But we got to be faithful until then and preach, prophesy. And I'm not trying to put off the move of God. I'm just saying this is what the Word of God says. We have the ability and the authority to join with God and see a city shaken. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you praise God tonight? I feel like we could keep going, but we'll wrap it up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Well, Pastor.
I just hear the Spirit of God saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Just get ready. That we be not, none of us be not weary in well-doing, but we hold strong in faith. David, I want to thank you. You have picked up on my vision almost every time you've preached. And you have hooked right in. I thank you. I've believed for 50 years that God has a place for a church just like this. Not without change. I mean, we go God's way. I don't mean that we're perfect. But a place where people can be born again. A place where there's altar calls, an outreach ministry. A place where people are healed. A place where the power of God can operate. Just as we saw so abundantly in 93, an illustration that I can never forget. I cannot forget that God can send revival regardless of every demon out of hell. God can send a moving of His Spirit. God can do it. Without the proper advertising, without the proper, all the social media, everything we have available today, God did it on the day of Pentecost, and God did that at least in that one among many other occasions. I want us just to, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. But it's all of it. It's an outreach for souls. That's the balance of it. Amen. We believe in salvation. We believe in healing. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe in the genuine prophetic. I don't believe in baloney, but I believe in the genuine prophetic. And I mean it. We need the genuine prophetic. The genuine, not the... I wasn't born under a tree last night, and I've seen so much come and go, but God knows we need the genuine prophetic, accurate, come to pass, prophetic spoken. And everything that's called prophetic is not prophetic, it's pathetic. We need the prophetic. I'm not playing games with words. I'm hungry for the real. I'm hungry for the real. Amen. I'm not hungry for psychology. I'm not hungry for so much of even called charismatic, just a dog and pony show today. Folks, we need the genuine. God knows we need the genuine. We don't need showtime. We need Holy Ghost time. I said we don't need showtime. We need Holy Ghost time. We need Holy Ghost time. You can do certain things, and there are so many people that do not know the ways of the Spirit. People can be wowed by almost anything. I'd rather have less and have genuine than have a whole lot of folks and most of them not really know Jesus, not really know the power of God. I'm hungry for, are you hungry for God tonight?